Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Lakers' losing streak is now at 3 after the Pacers got them Saturday. Anthony Davis was held to 8 points on 3 of 14 shooting, and LeBron had 31 points, and it was the first time this season the Lakers lost with LeBron scoring at least 30 points. L.A. had the lead with under a minute and a half to go, but couldn't hold off T.J. Warren and the Pacers, who ended up with the 116-111 win. Chris Broussard still with us. Chris, any issues with the Lakers blowing these late-game leads?
Well, I don't want to overreact to these first 8 games in the bubble. The bubble is a strange place. I mean, my goodness, there's all sorts of mess happening in the bubble. And I think this shows that the NBA was right not to go straight to playoffs. Remember, a lot of people were saying, hey, just bring the 16 teams down there, start with the playoffs. Now, maybe these bad teams wouldn't play as well. The good teams would play better if these were playoff games. But I don't know. I mean, maybe this is just rust and guys getting their legs back. So I'm thankful that the NBA did not go straight to the playoffs, because you wouldn't want these types of upsets in the playoffs. All right. So that's the first thing. So I don't want to overreact to these late game leak drops that the Lakers are having, or whatever you want to call them. I think the concern, though, for the Lakers is this. And let me define concern. Concern is not, can they win in the first round? They're going to beat Portland. Portland may give them a little trouble, may push them a little, you know, 6-7 games. The Lakers will beat the Portland Trailblazers. The concern, though, is can the Lakers win a championship? Because this is title or bust. This isn't Western Conference Finals or bust. This is title or bust. And the concern in that regard is that LeBron's second guy is not a dog. It is showing. We've all been wanting to see, does Anthony Davis have dog in him? LeBron has won his 3 championships when his second guy has been a dog, Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving. They might have a bad game, but they're not just going to not show up. And Anthony Davis, over these last 3 games, has averaged 11 points on 33% shooting. He's only taking 11 shots a game. Skip, you mention all the time he's a great free throw shooter. He gets to the line. He's averaged 5 free throw attempts a game in these last 3. And one of the ways, look at all these highlights. Where are they taking place? On the perimeter. A dog would say, you know what? My shot is off. Let me go on the block. Let me get a few easy buckets. Let me punish somebody down low. And when you play down low, you also can draw fouls on your opponent. So it's a double whammy for the defensive team. And AD is doing none of that. Now, I will look at Frank Vogel and the coaching staff as well and say, why do you have this guy playing like he thinks he's Kevin Durant? Put him down low more so he can be a beast down low. He's not a terrific perimeter player. He's a good one, but he needs to play down low more. So I think that's a concern for the Lakers, because LeBron is going to need some more help from AD, specifically against the Clippers.
Well, my concern was the last 6 possessions that the Pacers had, they scored points. And that's unacceptable. For whatever reason, they could not stop T.J. Warren. He had the long 3, and everything he wanted, he was able to get. But they let him get to a rhythm early, and he was basically unguardable. And he's been unguardable since he's been in the bubble. But as you mentioned, Anthony Davis is settling. Because when you go from averaging 14 free throws a game to averaging 5, it's telling me that you're not putting the ball on the floor, and you're not getting to the rim, and you're not drawing contact. They'll give you that. They'll give you step back 3s. They'll give you fall away 20 footers. They'll give you as much as that if you can stomach. But I think a lot of that has to do with also that he's playing with another big. And it's kind of hard for him to get on the block. And so basically they're going to have to tell JaVale, or if he's playing with Dwight, to get away. Or you might have to just go small. But the advantage that they have, Chris and Skip, is that they do have 2 bigs. And they're one of the few teams that have a 6'10 and a 7-footer, or they can go 2 6'10s with Dwight and AD. But AD hadn't played well. They can't go very far. Yeah, they might get past the first round, but they won't get past the first round if he's averaging 11 points a game. That's not happening. He and LeBron needs to average what they normally do, which is about 50, a little over 50 points a game. And probably they might need to kick that up to 55 to 60. Because like you said, Chris, this is not about the number 1 seed. This is not about coming out of the West. This is about winning a title. If you don't win a title, Lakers season was unsuccessful. It is as simple as that. No other way sugarcoated about it, and I don't make excuses for it. I want a title. But LeBron James and LeBron and AD hadn't played well together, Chris, since they've been in the bubble. That's another thing that I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. One of you play well here, and the next one play well the next game. Y'all gonna have to put some of these things together. But don't you worry your pretty little head. Mm. Even though the Clippers and Doc Rivers were trying to be sabotagey, good. Sometimes you can make your destiny, Skip Bayless, on the very road you took to avoid it.
I've heard that before.
You trying to avoid us, but you're going to make your destiny with us.
Thank you for referring to my head as a pretty little head. Thank you. I'll accept that compliment.
I thought he was talking about me.
Yeah. So, Chris Broussard, before I unleash on this, quick question. You say that the Trailblazers might cause the Lakers a little bit of a problem, maybe 6 or 7 games. That's a lot of problems.
Seven's a lot of problems.
Just for the record.
I got it going 6.
Okay. Now, my turn. I sat watching Shannon's team on Saturday evening here in Los Angeles, and I'm just shaking my head over, what are you guys doing? Because with 3:32 left in the game, LeBron drove it, and for the 8th time in the game, he scored it right at the rim. When LeBron James decides to bulldoze or freight train, I still say there's just nobody. Maybe the 2 Clippers can sort of bother him a little bit, but there's really nobody that can keep him from the rim or from the free throw line. Now, he's having another, I guess, off night at the free throw line. He's still trying to find a new hesitation routine. He was 3 of 6 at that point from the free throw line. So maybe he's saying down the stretch, I'm not the guy who belongs at the line. But down the stretch, he did next to nothing, and he began to, again, pass the basketball, to distribute the basketball to shooters. But I'm thinking, okay, you got Quinn Cook on the court, who's played next to none in the bubble, but LeBron did say way back in November, he's as good a catch-and-shoot guy as there is in the league. And I agree. He is clutch. He's made a lot of big shots, especially for Golden State, where you say, okay, maybe Vogel's trying to push a new button just to get ready for the playoffs. And I agree with Chris, the motivation for these games is low because obviously they've already clinched. But it's crucial that you find a winning closing formula. I thought it would be Kyle Kuzma, but he was having a very off night, 3 for 14 and 1 for 4 from 3. So they cut him out of the closing equation. So let's see quickly the tape of the shots that the Lakers took down the stretch after they were ahead by 3 with 3:32 left. And if we could see it, here's LeBron. And who's going to go first? Well, let's try little Quinn. This is a good shot. Nice pass by LeBron. And he'd made 5 of 7 threes at that point, and he missed that one. So here we go again. Who's next? Who's next? Well, maybe that guy with that dog in him, or maybe he doesn't. There he is. He drifted all the way to the short corner, and he missed a 3. But that's Anthony Davis at 6'10". So LeBron says, okay, we've tried that. Let's try this. Attack, LeBron. Just attack. Go ahead and attack. No, it's not there. So I'll shoot a fall away, and I'll miss everything. I'll shoot an air ball. But guess what? My big guy is underneath, and he catches it. Look what I found and put him back up 1. So here we go again. Now you still got a chance. You're still in the game. And let's go to AD again on the perimeter. To your point, Chris, he misses another 3. Now we got 1 last chance. 1 last chance before this game gets completely away. Let's try the little man QC again from the top. Pretty good look. Pretty good look, and he missed it. So that's all the shots that you had. Then they go down the other end. Oladipo, LeBron made a late 3, but Oladipo made a couple free throws, and game over. And I agree, T.J. Warren was extraordinary down the stretch, scoring. Both of them were. All of them were. They were all just scoring at will.
Yep.
But my point, Chris, is if LeBron has scored 31 points up to the 3.5-minute mark, why wouldn't he say, it's my turn, it's my time, it's my night to close this deal? I don't know why not, because he is the driving force of this team, literally the driving force, and he didn't drive it at all and try to get to the free throw line. I don't know. And where's Anthony Davis, to your point? He's shooting distant 3-point shots at 6'10" when nobody can really deal with him in and around the lane. So your formula for closing is still way up in the air, and now the Lakers are the worst shooting team in the bubble and the worst scoring team in the bubble, and that is bubble trouble.
Well, here's what I'd say about LeBron, Skip. if you notice, against the Clippers, that was a big game, right? He was there in the fourth. He had kind of coasted through the first three quarters, then got aggressive in the fourth when it was a game that they needed to win. LeBron is great enough and smart enough to know, look, this game doesn't matter against Indiana. They've already locked up the number one seed. All those highlights you showed, I thought that was great because I think that showed LeBron, he's trying to get Quinn Cook some chops, some clutch chops. He's going to need Quinn Cook in the playoffs, so I think he's trying to get him and the other players used to doing it in the fourth quarter, late in game. If this had been the Clippers, if this had been a big game that they needed, I think you would have seen LeBron driving and being more aggressive and not worrying about getting the other guy's shot. So I think that's why LeBron kind of didn't shoot as much, played more of the facilitator role late to see if these guys can hit shots and get ready for the playoffs.
So, Chris, who's the closer for the Los Angeles Lakers?
It's got to be LeBron. It is LeBron.
Okay. So
AD's not, I mean, that's been the case all, and that's, again, I thought they should have tried to work AD more during the season as the fourth quarter guy, but at this point, it's got to be LeBron. Now, he's going to make plays. Remember, he's not going to be Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant where he shoots it most of the time. He may shoot it most of the time, but he'll also look for ways to facilitate and get guys open looks. So, but he's got to be the closer.
But Chris, he can't get them any better looks than what he got Quinn Cook and what he got AD. I'm talking about uncontested threes. Guys were 3 and 4 feet away from him. They just got to knock those shots down. But the thing is that you look at all the guys that's going crazy in the bubble. You look at Gray Trent Jr. and T.J. Warren, and you look at Austin Rivers had a monster night, Michael Porter. None of those guys have the expectations as the players from the Lakers, because the Lakers are all about championships, and nobody's really expecting those teams to win the title. So the expectations, and that's what we talk about a lot, Skip, when we talk about football, expectations. It's one thing to hit a shot in the first and second quarter, but in the third and fourth quarter, in playoff basketball, can you still make those shots? That's what the really great guys can do on a consistent basis.
So, Shannon Sharp, with the game on the line, would you rather see Quinn Cook or Anthony Davis shooting a three or LeBron attacking the basket?
I want LeBron to attack the basket, but if it's closed up, I want him to trust. I want him to trust. Yeah, we trust. That's what we do.
Or pass the blame.
There you go. I do see.
He was leading up to something.
You already know, Chris. He always got something.
No mercy.
Tonight, NL East contenders face off on FS1. Freddie Freeman and the Braves take on Bryce Harper and the Phillies. The action begins at 6 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. All right, guys. Dak Prescott's agent, Todd France, has mutually parted ways with his agency, CAA, after all three of France's NFL clients that were franchise tagged this offseason failed to get a deal done with their teams. At this point, we have not heard whether Dak will remain with France or stick with CAA as his representation moving forward. This is crazy to me. Shannon, how will this impact Dak's future with the Cowboys?
I don't think it impacts it much unless Dak Prescott sever his ties with Todd France. Now, he could go with Tom Condon, who's also under CAA. Ben Dogra, he's also under CAA. So, Skip, this is unconcerning to me, unless Dak Prescott sever his ties with Todd France. But if he severs his ties with Todd France, Skip, he's not going to get some willy-nilly guy.
Yeah.
There's Jimmy Sexton, there's Joel Siegel, there's Buzz Cook. He's still going to get a heavy hitter.
That's true.
So if Cowboys, you think just because Todd France and CAA party ways, now you're going to get Dak picking up some shade tree agent? That's not happening. So, Skip, you know how this thing works, Skip. You go get in a situation like this. For me, if I'm in, do something, Lord forbid, Skip, you gonna get a criminal attorney, you gonna get your homeboy, or you gonna go get you a heavy hitter? You gonna get you a heavy hitter. Dak Prescott's gonna get a heavy hitter because he says, I'm a heavy hitter. So he's gonna get one of these top guys, whether it's Todd, like I said, until I see, read something where Dak Prescott severed ties with Todd France, then come talk to me. But Todd France severing ties with CAA, that does nothing for me, Skip, because there are a lot of times we see CAA just try to get all these guys up under one umbrella. That's why they got Todd France. That's why they got Tom Condon. That's why they got Ben Dogra. So for me, this does nothing. He's going to get another heavy hitter if he severs ties. Drew Rosenhaus, Sexton, Siegel. He's going to get one of those guys, Skip.
Have you sent him a little DM saying you're available?
And I mean, you'd
love to go to battle with Jerry Jones.
I just want to do the PR. Just let me do the PR. Mm. That's all I want to do, a little PR.
Okay. So I told you from the start that I was told that Todd France is, quote unquote, overplaying his hand in negotiations with Jerry Jones. And maybe that's what was happening because that's how it played out because they got no deal at the deadline done.
Right.
So it appears that Todd France might have been overplaying his hand within the confines of CAA because I believe he wanted to take over the football operation from Jimmy Sexton, who runs it. And Jimmy Sexton apparently won that political battle internally.
Right.
And it pretty much forced Todd France out.
Right.
Because Jimmy Sexton has run the football operation, and he does an excellent job. And so
he got a lot of players and a lot of coaches.
He does. But he's still standing at CAA. So now Todd France is out on his own. And I agree with you. This is probably just more bad news for Cowboy fans because I seriously doubt, and from everybody I've talked to, everyone seriously doubts that Dak will leave Todd France even though he is now split from CAA.
Right.
So they've come too far together, and it sounds like they love each other and that they're now a tag team.
A lot of times, Skip, people go with CAA or they go with these big agencies because of what they can do outside of that. Sometimes they want to get in television. Sometimes they want to get in the movies. They want to do other things.
Right.
And so it's a lot easier if you're under that umbrella.
And Dak will lose all those perks that you can get, all the amenities that you can get from everybody else at CAA.
That is correct.
Good point. So now we look at Todd France, and I say, does he now want to become the Scott Boras of football agents the way Scott dominates baseball?
He does.
And Scott is a tough guy, and Scott's done a lot of great work for a lot of players, but he's alienated a lot of owners.
Right.
And a lot of many times that a draftee will go undrafted because he's a Boras client.
Right.
So that's what you have to deal with.
Right.
But all of a sudden, Todd France, so he had two other clients who were tagged, who could have had deals done before the deadline. Justin Simmons is a safety for Denver
Broncos,
and Bud Dupree in Pittsburgh. And neither got a deal done by the deadline.
Right.
And DeAndre Hopkins, he also represents. And DeAndre got completely sideways with the Houston Texans and especially Bill O'Brien. And it started over money, and then I think it just got bad blood personal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And obviously, thank you very much, he wound up with Kyler Murray in Arizona. But you see where the track record is heading here.
Right.
Todd France is a tough guy.
Right.
He will dig in for the duration.
Right.
So, again, it feels like that Dak is still, that we've seen the beginning of the end of Dak in Dallas. And I believe their big plan is, okay, we'll take the tag for 2 years, but they're not going to tag us for that third year at $55 million. So I'm assuming they're looking at maybe hitting the market after a couple of years.
Skip, I think the thing is, and to give people some insight at home, when you're doing a contract, you sit down with your agent, and you try to, and he's telling you, okay, well, this is the market, and this is where such and such, and this is what this guy got, and you're like, I want to be here. And so he's going to tell you now, it's going to get contentious.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how long can you wait? How long can you stomach? How are you financially secure? Because we might not get this deal this year. We might have to play under the tag. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with that?
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, Skip, the agent can do all he wants to. It's Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott could have said, no, Tom, I mean, excuse me, Todd. Mm-hmm. No, Todd, let's get this deal. The deal that they're offering, let's take it. Dak could have done that. And Todd France would have said, Jerry, we got a deal.
Yep.
But Dak didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so I think people need to understand at the end of the day, it's like a financial advisor, Skip. Financial advisor could say, well, Shannon, I think we need to do this, this, and this. At the end of the money, who money is that? That's mine.
Mm-hmm.
I want to buy a Ferrari. I want to get a house in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, that's my, he can advise you all he wants to. At the end of the day, it's your call.
It's your call.
At the end of the day, this was Dak Prescott's call. And Dak Prescott said, no, I'll play this year under the franchise tag. We'll revisit this situation again next year. So that's how that situation works.
But deep down, Dak Prescott has to now ask himself, is this more about your reputation, Todd France, or my best interest, Dak Prescott? That's what you have to ask yourself because he has a growing reputation as a tough negotiator.
Yes.
And that could attract more big-name clients to him, especially the cream of the crop.
Yes.
They're going to want the toughest negotiator.
Look at what's here in the cops, Skip, but Tom Condon. He had the Manning brothers. He had Drew Brees, LaDainian Thomas. And that's what you get because those guys want someone that's not going to bow down, that's not going to back down. Well, that is a really good deal now. That's top notch. They don't normally go there. I don't want to hear that. That ain't what I hired you for.
Nope.
Go get me my money. And that's what you see these guys. That's why it's so hard for guys starting out. Because normally what you see is guys, they branch off. They start under Tom Condon, and then they go their separate ways. They start under Siegel or Jimmy Sexton, and then they branch off. It's hard to get into this business, Skip, right out of college and say, hey, man, I just got, I just finished college, law school or whatever, finance school, and I want to represent you. Well, who you represented before? You be my first. No, I'm good. You know, Skip, that's just the way. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. It's hard to crack into this business. Now, once you get into this business, do some good work, guys will flow towards you. But I don't see, like I said, I don't see him leaving Todd France. And if he does leave Todd France, he's going to get another heavyweight. He's not going to get like, Jerry, you get no breaks. So if you think he's going to go back and get someone, there's a reason why he went to Todd France to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like I said, CAA gets to provide an umbrella, Skip, that's unique from saying an individual agent. Mm. Because, they got a lot of movie stars. They heavy into the TV. They heavy into the radio. Mm-hmm. They heavy into these British products.
Yep.
So that's what they can provide more so than an agent that's on his own. Mm-hmm. And so maybe Dak wants to stay up under that umbrella. Maybe Dak wants to do TV. Maybe Dak wants to do radio or maybe movies or something like that. They can provide that. So, but even if he stays with CAA, look at what he's got, Skip. Mm-hmm. Tom Condon ain't bull jiving. Dogger not bull jiving. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Sexton. He got a lot of coaches. I bet you 20 of the top 35 coaches. Not just in NFL, he got college coaches too. So
speaking of umbrellas, Dak Prescott is playing under the greatest umbrella in the world. It's called the America's Team umbrella. and all of the subsidiary benefits that you get under that umbrella are staggering to me in national endorsements and in speaking appearance fees and all of the above. Just everything, it trickles down to you. Golden nuggets trickle all down to you, and you can make so much more being the quarterback of America's team than the quarterback of the Bengals.
Skip, but at the end of the day, you know what? You would know Dwayne Johnson. And he's like, hold on. He goes to a movie studio and they say, Dwayne, we want you to do this movie. But you just bought the XFL. You know you producing this show. Wait a minute. That ain't got nothing to do with you. Mm. Now, you want me to do this film. This is what it's going to cost. Dak Prescott told Jerry and Stephen Jones, don't you worry about how many endorsements I got. Mm. Don't you worry about what I'm doing. I'm the quarterback of this team. Pay me accordingly.
Mm. They offered him a very
fair
deal.
That ain't enough.
Very fair
deal. That ain't enough.
No mercy.
James Harden had plenty of help last night with Russell Westbrook missing his second game in a row due to a bruised leg. Austin Rivers came off the bench to score a career-high 41 points for Houston in their 17-point win over the Kings. Rivers did it on 16 of 20 shooting that included 6 threes. Shannon, how much stock do you put in Rivers' performance?
Well, it was a great performance, Skip. I mean, to get a 40-piece coming off the bench, and that was a career-high for him. But he's filling in Westbrook's role. So I don't see a scenario where he has that kind of performance again when Russ gets back or when Eric Gordon returns because his shots are going to be limited because it goes Harden, Russ, Gordon, and then it fills out from there. So it was an all-time great performance. I mean, he had it going last night. I mean, a lot of them had it going. And that's what they do. They play that small ball, Skip, and, they get cooking from the three-point line. They're going to be tough to beat. They put a lot of pressure on you. And no lead is safe because they can hit 3 or 4 threes in a row, and a 15-point game is now 6 points. And so but he's one of these guys that's breaking out kind of like a T.J. Warren, Skip. I know T.J. Warren was, I think, 14th pick in the draft. He was ACC Player of the Year. But, hell, Jerry Dudley was ACC Player of the Year.
He was.
And so, Skip, that's over. So, but you didn't see this. Skip, and I remember him a little bit from Phoenix, the Suns, and he played well. But he popped up on my radar this year when him and Jimmy Butler got into it. And it had nothing to do about him dropping some points for whatever. And guess what? They play today. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that turns out.
Yep.
There don't seem to be no love lost between those two guys. But, Skip, something is going on in this bubble where you see a T.J. Warren, a Michael Porter Jr., a Gary Trent Jr., and Doc's son, Austin. Maybe it's because there is no crowd noise. And they feel that, like, I'm just in the gym and I'm shooting because, Skip, we see, you know, sometimes guys will post and you see a guy hit 15, 20 threes in a row. Steph Curry, I think they had a video, Steph hit like 23 threes in a row. And maybe because there's no crowd noise, maybe there's no yelling, no booing, and guys can get comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way I can explain it. That's the only way you can explain something like this. Because nobody saw these type of performances coming from these guys. Now, Michael Porter Jr., Skip, people thought he could be good before he hurt that back because a lot of people said he's going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Yep.
And so he might be the outlier here. But what T.J. Warren is doing is averaging 35. What Gary Trent Jr. was doing before last night was shooting 60% from the three. And Doc's son, Austin, getting a 40-piece. But no, he can't. Can he keep this going? No, because the opportunity is not going to present itself.
But if it does, he's capable. We've seen it before. I'm a big fan of Austin Rivers. I'm obviously a big fan of his father.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we had his father on, sat right here on the show, and we were talking about Austin, one thing led to another, and he said he is fearless.
Yes.
He is. He was raised fearless.
Right.
He was raised the son of a, you could argue, the best coach in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up in NBA locker rooms. He grew up around those Celtics championship teams in Boston.
His dad played for the Hawks.
Yeah.
I remember his dad played for the Hawks.
You got it. So it's true. Austin was back in an arena at Disney World last night in which he had monumental moments as a high school star.
Yeah.
Because that's where he grew up in Orlando.
Right.
So he said he felt comfortable in that arena and there's nobody in there. And you're right. It can be much more of a comfort zone because nobody's yelling at you or getting on you or you don't feel the pressure, the suffocation of so many fans all over you. But here's the most bizarre stat I've seen in a long time. Austin Rivers has played 2 years now in Houston. His first year in Houston, he averaged 9 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists.
Right.
This year, he's averaging 9 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists. For his career, Austin Rivers is averaging 9 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists over 8 years. So he just keeps doing the same thing. But he is capable of shocking blips because a year ago, first go-around with Houston, he had a 25-point game, and this year, previously, he had a 23-point game. And I can personally attest that back in 2015, when he played for his dad and the Clippers, he killed my Spurs in the first round, where they blew a late game at the end of the year to fall back into a seed where they had to play the Clippers in the first round. Chris Paul was extraordinary. That's the best I've ever seen him play, and he hit the shot of shots in Game 7 to knock them out. But a lot of the big shots were taken and made by Austin Rivers.
Right.
He took shots in the mouth and in the nose and had a bloody nose, and he just kept fighting. He will fight back.
Right.
So when he's suddenly pressed into duty in place of Russell Westbrook, he's not afraid.
Well, Skip, he had to be like this because everybody thought everything was handed to him because he was a coach's
son.
That's
correct, and he took a lot of you-know-what over that.
Absolutely, and a lot of people feel that, you know, it's nepotism that he's even in the league.
Yep.
But I believe he's done enough. He's carved out a niche for himself. As you mentioned, over 8 years, he's averaging 9 points a game. He's carved out a nice niche for himself. So he had to be that way, Skip, because everybody went at him a little tougher. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to see, oh, you a coach's son. You got a silver spoon in your mouth. You're not that tough anyway. So he had to either step up or back down. And he says, well, I'm going to step up to the occasion. But, Skip, if you look at it, he played the most minutes. He's not going to get that opportunity. He's not going to be playing more minutes to Harden, more minutes to Russ. He got almost 34 minutes yesterday. But he was phenomenal. He couldn't miss from the three early on. And I was like, but if you let James Harden get 32 and you let a guy come off the bench and get 41, you're probably going to lose.
Okay, I got it. But that guy is not just a bench guy. That guy believes in himself, and I think he could be invaluable to the Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a night when Russ doesn't have it and maybe James, that we've seen it how many times. There's going to be a night when you're going to need 15 or 18 hot minutes from Austin Rivers, and he is highly capable of providing that.
Because he can create his own shot, Skip.
Yep.
If you saw last night, they were playing him for the three, and he dribbled, and he got to the rim.
They let him finish the game to try to break 40, and he starts driving and doing up and unders and off the glass.
So that's what you need in a situation like that. With a lot of these guys, Skip, are catch-and-shoot guys. But he's a one guy, he can catch and shoot, but he can put the ball on the floor and get to the rim.
Remember when he beat your Carolina Tar Heels?
Yeah, oh man.
He did. Do you remember when he did?
Yeah, I remember that.
He made the shot of shots to beat Carolina. He was a mid-first round draft pick, so he's got some credentials.
I don't care. A Duke can have all the players. They can have Zion. Mm-hmm. They can have Kyrie. Yep. But we got the one guy.
Who?
We got the logo.
MJ.
We got the logo.
Oh, so now you claim it.
We got the logo.
Oh, now you claim it.
Logo.
After all this, you finally said something
what
nice
Duke,
about Michael
what
Jefferson.
What Duke player? Have you ever heard anybody say, oh, I want Duke blue? What do you say? You got on Carolina blue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love that color.
Yeah, I know you do.
Nobody wore it better than the real 23.
There you go. We got the logo. No mercy.